B-Pod Studios.
10 games. Yeah, go ahead. 10 regular season games. Have 5 regular season games. I agree with you. Let's get, but I just think that the reality is they're going to have those games if you want the season to come back. Mike in Delran. Hey, buddy.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Mike.
Hope you guys had a good holiday weekend.
Back at you, buddy.
Hey, Miss Elizabeth was passed around more than the donation basket at church.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I misspoke. I meant Macho Man when I said Snuka. I knew she was with Macho Man most of the time, and I said Snuka mistakenly.
She married a guy, didn't she?
She married she married Macho Man, but was living with Lex Luger when she died.
Okay.
She was with Macho Man. She was with Hulk Hogan. She was with, like, Ric Flair. She was with Bret the Hitman Hart. Like, she's been with everybody. She's like the WWF groupie.
Wait.
Speak ill of the dead, Mike.
Was she with,
Did she die?
Oh, she died in 2003.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Mike's still dead.
She was with,
that was sincere.
Was she not with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase?
Absolutely. Thank you. You know what? Hey, listen, you got to YouTube a video if you didn't see it. The Million Dollar Man one episode had a kid come up in the ring and told him he'd give him $100 and he could dribble a basketball 10 times. And on the 9th time, he kicked it. And the look on his face is so funny. Oh, I'm going to hell.
No, that's comedy, Mike. No, that's good comedy.
Hey, real quick, I know you guys are probably up against it, but can you help tell me the other teams? Because me and Jamie are going to smoke through this drinking contest, guys. I got 4-3 kids with one on the way, and I got a bar in my garage. What do you think keeps me going?
That's a good point. Yeah.
You guys are toast, so I don't know how all that came up, but good work by you, Jamie. We're going to crush that comp.
Yeah, you were number one overall.
Yeah, you were the number one pick.
That's a good point. I don't know if I should be offended or proud, but either way,
proud. Yeah, there you go. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it. I'd be proud. If a radio station said that you were their number one overall pick as far as a listener drinking contest, that's something you stick your chest out
over. What is a drinking contest? Is it fast? Is it most?
Well,
is
it? It depends on the parameters.
I'm not a chugger. Case race.
Flip cup? Do you a little flip cup?
Beer pong?
Yeah. Beer pong?
AC Deucey? Yeah. What do you want to do? I'm game. Rivers, Crazy Eights, what do you want?
Crazy Eights.
Jamie's got them all. I almost said it. I almost said what bleeped there.
Yeah,
you didn't bleep, but you said bleep that.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't say it.
I haven't played that in a long
Thumper?
Time.
Thumper's a popular one.
Oh, I used to love Thumper back in the day.
My cousins and I still revel over the time we caught our parents, heard our parents. They were like, hey, you guys go downstairs and watch like Princess Bride or something, whatever the hell it was. And they were upstairs playing Thumper. I forget how old
What's
we were.
What's the name of the game? Oh, God. Yeah,
we still hark back on that moment.
Many
of our
brain
childhood.
Cells ago.
Not for nothing. I texted this guest. By the way, you are listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPDN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting through the Xfinity studio. Only from Comcast, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag at yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. I literally texted our friend, Paul Hudrick, last night, saying, hey, I know it's Memorial Day. Are you boozing? If not, come on with us tomorrow. And he's like, I'm not boozing too much, so I'll come on with you tomorrow. I said, bless your heart. On the line with us right now, the great Paul Hudrick. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Mark. I appreciate you giving the PC version of the conversation.
Exactly. We're friends. We're pals. We yuck it up from time to time. And you are joining us now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Comcast Business Beyond Fast. Paul, first off, how was your Memorial Day, buddy?
Actually, Mark, honestly, it was really great. Got to go over my sisters a little bit. We were all, you know, responsible and smart about things, but still got to see some family and ate way too much food. And, yeah, so it actually wound up being really great and grateful that I got to be able to do it. It was very cool.
Now, I just saw this thing literally come across my timeline a couple of minutes ago, and I think TMZ posted it early this morning. Apparently, Michael Jordan, they have audio of Michael Jordan saying that he didn't want to play with Isaiah Thomas. Like, flat out saying, I'm not on the dream team if Isaiah's on the dream team. So we'll try to play that a little bit later for you. But the NHL took a big step forward over the weekend with two things. One, the 24-team tournament, and then the other, Phase 2, hopefully being implemented in early June. That can only mean more things are right down the line, more good things are right down the line for the NBA to return. As you see it right now, Woj putting out stories left and right about trying to get on the same page with everybody. There's conference calls being had around the league. What's your gut telling you right now about the status of the NBA and a return?
Well, all the reports seem to be gaining momentum that we're getting close to them attempting to try to make a comeback. And, you know, it first broke, you know, some of the things, like some of the location stuff about Disney World, and then you have different stuff about formats. I know there's been a lot of talk, and just recently there was talk about a format that would include the entire NBA basically being ranked 1 through 16, which I know one team that would probably want to vote that down, and that would be your Philadelphia 76ers, because that would not line up very well for them to have that happen. Mm. The momentum seems to be in a good spot, and it seems like they're going to try to play basketball. And the date I keep hearing is mid-July, a month ramp up, which is going to be definitely necessary for these guys to get back in some version of basketball shape. So, yeah, it seems to be heading in a positive direction, and hopefully, you know, there's still a lot of questions and variables and stuff, but hopefully some of that stuff starts getting resolved this week or, you know, the following week.
Now, the conversation regarding the Sixers has been almost, I don't even want to say a throwaway line, but it feels like a safety net for a lot of people. Sure, they struggled during the regular season. They had their struggles, but they're built for the playoffs anyway. Are they? Are they better suited for the playoffs there, Paul?
They'll tell you that. Brooke Brown and Elton Brand wanted to tell us that all season long that they were built for the playoffs, but I guess it's kind of going to be put up or shut up time coming up here soon enough. It's weird because I think in a way this situation is going to benefit them a lot more than maybe it benefits some other teams as far as just pure health. Obviously getting Ben back, because, you know, if the season would have gone on as usual, we really wouldn't know Ben Simmons' timeline. If he would have been back for the playoffs, really don't have any answers to that. So now Elton Brand seems to be optimistic that Ben will be healthy and ready to go. Obviously Joel with his health issues, and then, you know, Al Horford looked sluggish and looked like he was a little banged up. Tobias Harris had some stuff going on. Josh Richardson all season was dealing with, you know, hamstring, quad injury. So him getting this rest is probably beneficial. But the bottom line is these guys gotta play, and they gotta be ready to roll, because I think that was a big part of what you saw this season, is that they're just the most mercurial team in the NBA. Like, you never knew, like, they'll beat the Milwaukee Bucks and then 2 days later go to Orlando and throw up a dud against the Orlando Magic, who are not good. And so it's just to be able, like, if you can predict this team, you're better than I am, because I can't. They've beaten all the top teams and they've lost to a bunch of bad teams. So they put themselves in this hole now where whatever happens, they just are going to have to accept the consequences. But are they built for the playoffs? They're gonna have to show it soon enough.
Right.
Paul, with the assumption that everyone's healthy, when this team does get back on the floor, what do you think needs to be the biggest difference with this team? And I don't mean like winning on the road. I mean like fun. What does Brett Brown have to do differently with these players that he has? What do you want to see?
Well, the Al Horford and Joel Embiid fit, and I'll even say Ben Simmons fit. Like, those three together, something's gotta give. Either Al Horford has to start hitting three-pointers, or he's got to go come off the bench and take on a different role like we've seen. To me, the blueprint for them, and Brett Brown alluded to it when he talked to us a couple weeks ago on a conference call, that Clippers game is their blueprint. With Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons playing together, playing that high-low game, running that snug pick and roll, and Al Horford coming off the bench and kind of, you know, them staggering those minutes, and then having Ben Simmons play with another ball handler at times to play, like, you know, him them using him more as a screener and a roller. So those are the things I want to see. I just want to see them integrate Al Horford better into a way that, you know, it's pretty clear that fit hasn't been great, and I don't know if it's ever going to be great. So now you have to work around it. You have to figure out, okay, well, this is, like Brett Brown has to say, this is what I have, and this is how I'm going to get the most out of what I have. So that's what I want to see. I want to see how they get all those pieces, you know, to get the most out of what they have.
Would you continue to start Horford, or would you go in another direction?
For me, I might go in another direction. I would actually consider Shake Milton, because I'm considering for the reason of having an extra ball handler on the floor next to Ben Simmons, having another shooter, and then also, again, a guy that can really use Ben Simmons' ability as a screener and a roller. Shake Milton runs the pick and roll pretty well. So I'd kind of like to see Shake Milton start, and I'd like to see Al. And I think Al Horford still has value in that regard. I think he can come off the bench, and then if you have a lead late in games, that defensive prowess of having him out there to close out games, I think is a real thing that they can utilize. So for me, I would like to see them go in a different direction than Al Horford starting.
speaking with Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports Philadelphia. It covers the Sixers for NBC Sports Philly. As far as Ben Simmons, and you mentioned him a minute ago, I know the Sixers haven't seen him work out in person, obviously, but they've seen him virtually. Is it expected that he'll play in the playoffs immediately, that they basically just have to see him work out? Is it all just making sure they see him in person with the back injury, or is it just a formality that he'll have to practice and then play?
Well, Alvin Bram was like a little sketchy with the details as far as he didn't want to give us, and I get it, because he doesn't know, like you said, Mark, like he's only seen him in, like, he mentioned that he had seen him in Zoom video workouts, which I don't know how much you can glean from that.
Right.
But the thought is that he will join the team when the ramp-up starts. I think the target date for that around the league was mid-June. So I think it is. They're going to have to see where he is. But again, Elton and Brett both said they were optimistic that he will be healthy. When we look at the timeline, we are like far removed from when they said he would be reevaluated. So it seems pretty encouraging that he will be back. He said even before the suspension of the season took place, he had mentioned that he had no pain. So he seems like he's going to be in a good place, and I think it's just a matter of them getting him into camp, seeing where he is, and then from there, you know, deciding whether they want to ramp him up big time or kind of ease him in.
Cornrows or no cornrows? That's what everyone's thinking about right now.
I actually dig the cornrows. I think he looks good with them.
Don't look bad. It doesn't look bad.
It worked for somebody else here before.
That's that number one pick.
Paul, do you think when the season gets ramped back up and however format they go, whether it's straight to the playoffs or some regular season games before that, how much of that do you think will go into judgment whether Brett Brown is back or not?
So the only thing I could see it complicating is if, as I mentioned, if they do the 1-16 seeding, because if you look at how that would turn out, no matter what, they're getting Celtics first round. But then after that, you're getting, and this is, of course, Bob, like you mentioned, if they do no regular season games, go right to the playoffs. They get Celtics round one, then I believe it would be Clippers in the next round, then Bucks in the next round, and then if they were to make it through all of that, they'd have to play the Lakers in the finals. So if that's the caveat, if that's what they're having to deal with, I don't know what Brett Brown, I don't know the range they have to get to for Brett Brown's job to be, you know, to be on the hot seat for him to get a little uncomfortable. I would say if it's Eastern Conference regular format, if they don't get past the second round, then I have to think that there's going to be some questions flying around, because that would be the third year in a row this team would be eliminated in the second round. And whether it's changed because they need a new voice or whatever, or just, you know, whatever the case may be, I think them failing to reach the whatever the Eastern Conference Finals is, if they fail to reach that, then I think there's going to be some questions.
Paul, we talked to one of your peers, Keith Pompey, last week. And there was a little tidbit there that I hadn't thought about. And with all the revenue and all the money that's not there anymore, basically, with not playing games, like everyone right now in every business seems to be, you know, reaching for that revenue. Even if the Sixers are reaching for that revenue and they don't have that money that's there to be made, would that be a reason that you might bring back Brett Brown or maybe give him even more leeway because he's signed for another 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an off season like any other because it's just going to be so complicated. Like when you talk about the money too, like with the off season they just had with bringing in re-signing Tobias Harris and bringing in Al Horford, and they're locked in and they got a lot of money they're going to be making, and the tax situation is going to be different. The cap's going to be lower, you would think. So just so many variables. I don't know if that's going to lead to them keeping the coach just for that, and if that's the reason they give. Obviously, that's not going to go very well in Philadelphia. But yeah, I don't know. I would think that they wouldn't predicate their decision on the head coach about that, but you never know.
Mm-hmm. Paul, last thing for you before we move on here. What's the best thing you've done during quarantine?
Wow, that's a tough question.
Yeah, you know, I asked the hard ones. You know, I'm a journalist there, Paul.
Yeah, this is true. I guess used to play guitar and play out a lot, and I've done that more, and I've had the opportunity to sit here and practice, and that's been nice. But you know, just overall, just getting, like, you know, the little moments with the family. Like I said, the Memorial Day thing was great, and a couple of weeks ago, we had a socially distant barbecue with my mom at my new house, so that was cool.
Beautiful.
So just getting those little moments with the family, I think, has been what's, you know, just really cherishing them, because obviously, you know, we didn't have them for a little bit there, so that's probably been the coolest part.
I was expecting you to do some work on the house, man. Nothing yet?
Yeah, I mean, some stuff, but you know, way behind. I'll be totally honest.
Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports Philadelphia, thanks for coming on with us, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Anytime, bud.
All right, Paul Hudrick joining us right there. He's feeling pretty confident that momentum getting established there in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Just a matter of time there, Bubby.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, now this
just
is...
need some questions answered, that's all.
I have a few of them.
Okay.
A few of them. Now, this is this just came across, and I haven't heard this yet, so this is legit. Hearing it for the first time. Now, Jamie, the audio is terrible.
It's not terrible. You can tell it's Michael Jordan, but it's speaker quality audio.
And this is speaker quality from 1991?
Yeah, the audio got unearthed from Jack McCollum's The Dream Team tapes.
Okay. All right. So this is apparently Michael Jordan saying he's not on the Dream Team if Isaiah Thomas is on the Dream Team, I think. That's the way it's being billed, at least.
Yeah. You'll hear it. It's pretty straight to the point.
All right. Here we go.
Just give me a second, because the internet's...
They call me to ask me to rock and roll, to rock. I won't play Isaiah Thomas. Here's your reason. You know what? Chuck Turner, Isaiah. So Isaiah's not going to be a part of the team.
If you didn't hear, he said, I don't want to play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team.
You can hear...
Not much has been made.
You can hear it a little clearer, not... Like, it sounded better to me here in studio than it does on the air.
Right.
He clearly says... Basically, I'll play if Isaiah's not on the team. Which everybody thought was the case anyway.
Yeah.
So why'd you lie about it in the documentary?
Exactly. Because it was a puff piece.
It was a puff piece.
The more I distance myself from it, I'm like, oh, it was totally a puff piece.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't like Isaiah. He didn't like you.
Yeah.
It is what it is, dude. Mm-hmm. It's not like a mortal sin that you didn't. Sucks, but like,
you were higher up on the ladder.
Yeah.
You could say, I won't play, and then Isaiah wasn't playing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch.
Isaiah couldn't say that.
I'm going to watch it again because it's still cool.
Yeah.
I mean, documentary wise, it's probably not authentic documentary there. Probably not.
Yeah, Ken Burns is probably right.
Yep, a little bit. But here's the thing. I couldn't make out one damn word that guy had to say. Right?
Yeah, that was tough.
Call me to ask me to rock and roll, to rock. I won't play Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, there it was. Okay.
Yeah, once you kind of know what you're looking for, it's easier to decipher.
That's actually Michael B. Jordan saying that, which is odd, which is just a weird thing, because he was probably like two at the time.
And the producer was like, dude, Isaiah Thomas isn't even associated with Apollo 2. Like, what are you talking about?
Sir, this is the drive-through line at McDonald's. What did you want? If Isaiah Thomas is in that McDonald's, I'm not having my... Don't supersize my number four. You know what I'm saying? That's,
What did Isaiah Thomas do?
He didn't shake his hand.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to carry a 30-year grudge?
Absolutely. If I'm Michael Jordan, why not?
MJ wasn't alone. Most of the league hated Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
You've played against the guy that throws the bows, that picks you up full court, that's just a total pest.
Yeah.
You hate playing against that guy, but is it 30-year grudge worthy? Like, what was this
Michael
guy,
Jordan.
What was Isaiah Thomas saying to these guys on the court?
They beat the crap out of Jordan for like 4 years.
Was he talking about their moms and wives?
This just in. Jordan's wired differently.
Yeah, but it wasn't just him. Like, Magic and Bird allegedly hated this guy, too.
Well,
everybody hated Isaiah Thomas.
There was a riff with Magic and Isaiah. I forget what it was about, but then they made up for it by kissing. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I vaguely do, yeah.
So they went out to start the finals, the year the Lakers and the Pistons played in finals, and there was talk that these two weren't getting along. They get out at center court to shake hands before the toss of the first, and they kiss.
On the cheek?
Yeah, it was like a cheek kiss, but they kissed. Yeah, to show everybody, no, we're still friends. It was almost like Magic went out of his way, like, well, if Jordan has this riff with him, maybe I can get in Jordan's head and I'll be friends with Isaiah. You know, I think it's legitimate.
Wow.
I think, but that was the talk at the time. But no,
Isaiah doing? I need a documentary on Isaiah.
Well, okay.
Well, why was this guy hated by everybody? Well, like, he's one of the most forgotten about great players in NBA history almost because of this.
Yeah, no one really wants to promote him because they hated him.
Yeah.
And like, look, Bird legit. A guy says, oh, if he was black, no one would care about him. Like, if I
get
like
that.
Isaiah Thomas,
yeah.
Heard, that I understand.
Yeah.
But everything else, like Jordan, Everything is in the spirit of competition.
Yeah.
Like, did they beat the crap out of you? Yeah, they beat the crap out of you.
You know the Seinfeld where Elaine deals with the bad breaker-upper and he says, like, all the mean things to the ladies as they break up? He's like, Elaine, oh, yeah, by the way, you have a big head. And then that just, like, that sticks with her forever?
Yeah.
Like, was Isaiah Thomas the bad breaker-upper in Smack Talk? Like, every time he left the court, he'd be like, oh, yeah, MJ, your breath stinks. And that's, like, the one thing MJ's, like, self-conscious about is he has halitosis and he doesn't want... You know what I mean? Like, what was Isaiah Thomas doing that drove these guys insane?
That's probably
I think it is the handshake. Because Jordan went into such detail on that. You know, they beat us the two previous years. What do we do? I was a man. I went over. I shook hands. I wished them good luck. They showed footage of them doing it. They thought, we beat them, and they turned their backs and walk off the floor. You know, are you kidding me? He's you could see he's still pissed about that.
Oh, yeah.
30 years later.
I hear you.
I think the handshake is the cherry on top, but I think the other part of it is
there's
that they denied
them
championships.
I guess.
In Jordan's mind, if they don't beat the crap out of me, I have maybe two more titles.
To deny a guy a chance to win a gold medal for his country, like, that's hate. That's not like, oh, you didn't shake my hand and I'll never get over. That's hate.
I'm impressed by it, though, to be honest with you.
So am I to a degree, like, but I really need to know what he did.
That's I'm telling you.
There's got to be more.
No, there's no, like...
It's widespread throughout the league. Everybody hated this guy. People still hate this guy.
I guarantee you he didn't, like, hit on his wife or his mom. Like, I guarantee you. And by the way, Mrs. Jordan... That woman is not aged.
No, she looks tremendous.
She looks amazing. God bless her, man. But, like, I guarantee you there's nothing underlying.
You know, like, Brian Mitchell used to look up, like, opponents, girlfriends, and, like, family members' names. And Isaiah was doing something, man. It wasn't just peskiness.
You know, was it Will Parks that looks up people's, like, girlfriends in college?
Yeah, he said he did that, I think, with us.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's good. But I don't think anything's like that with Isaiah Thomas. I think there's enough that has happened.
He's just a rat face that everybody hates. It's just that natural, though.
Did you not identify yourself as that during your playing days?
No, you never look at yourself as that.
No. I'm talking about how he played. Did he not put himself?
I got to. Okay.
Like, I'm sure he thinks of himself as a great guy, but he the bad boy Pistons. He was the leader of that squad.
Yeah,
I mean, he was the leader of the guy punching you in the face.
Oh no, he did take a great elbow in the face one time from. Was it Karl Malone, I think? Isaiah Thomas had to get like 20 stitches right down the middle of the face. Yeah.
But no, like,
you guys are right.
Choose. Like, here's the thing I always loved about the 70s Flyers. They weren't apologizing. That's the way we played Kiss My Ass. Now it seems like Isaiah Thomas in that day is like, that's the way I played. Sorry. Like, that's how he at least came off. And maybe that's the way they wanted him to come off in this, the last dance piece. But I'll say that, like, Costas, and our friend Tasty Cake Dom pointed this out to me, and I had taped the interview that he did with SVP last week. And Costas, it was one of these things that Costas interjected. He wasn't asked about it. He just came and said, by the way, look, can I say one more thing? And he went on and spoke about Isaiah Thomas. And he goes, whatever gripe Jordan had with Isaiah Thomas throughout that entire 98 finals run, I was with Isaiah Thomas every step of the way. And not one time, on air or personally, he say anything negative about Michael Jordan. So whatever gripe is there,
I feel like it's completely one-sided.
And that's what's so amazing about it.
Isaiah Thomas is like, man, I just wanted to compete for a gold medal.
I hate that guy. Exactly. It's like, I hate that guy. That guy sucks.
I'll make sure your entire bloodline lives a life of hell, Isaiah. Like, all right, Michael, relax, man.
One day a year, and you'll never know what day that is. One of my children will go to your children's house and punch them in the face. Why? Because you didn't shake my hand that one time.
I would watch an Isaiah Thomas documentary today.
Well, you've seen the Bad Boys 30 for 30, right?
Yes.
That was pretty good.
But I need more.
Just Isaiah Thomas?
That's
your next thing?
Yeah.
You're an amazing person. Let me tell you that. 610-632-0975. We come back. Speaking of amazing things, we have people pitching ideas to us here in honor of the match two over the weekend, which was amazing. I mean, we'll hit every note on that again when we come back. We'll also let you hear the best part of it all. And we'll also talk to our friend Graf when we return here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But you know what? I've been telling you about Window Nation for months now. I told you when we moved into our house, Window Nation was kind enough to come out and check out our windows. And, man, they were very pleased to see. I didn't even know. They were Window Nation windows anyway when we bought the place. And they were fantastic. They're doing something great right now to take care of everybody in our area. They are a local essential business, and they want to help out everybody in the area by doing this. How about this, huh? up to 50% off any style window. Up to 50% off any style window, plus no payments for 24 months. These people are efficient. They know what they're doing. They're the best in the area. They take care of you, and they take care of you immensely. 24 months, no down payments, up to 50% off any style window, whether it's one window, whether it's the whole house. They're taking care of their customers right now. They're doing what they can to earn your business and earn your loyalty. They realize times are tough for people, so they're making sure that they're offering this financing. It's a great way to deal with it. No payments for 2 years. It's hard to beat that. And also, if you don't feel comfortable having people in your house to check out your windows, you can do a virtual consultation, and they'll take care of you that way. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Champions for Charity. I'm Sam Wilson, and this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by LIHEAP from PGW. There's money available to help cover your PGW gas bill, but you have to apply to get it. Text the word WARN to 75308. PGW, energy for us all. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning defeated Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady in the match Champions for Charity over the weekend. The pair took home the title while also donating $20 million between the four of them to COVID-19 relief. Tom Brady was able to add more into the donation pot when pro golfer Brooks Koepka tweeted a pledge of $100,000 if he was able to hit par in remaining holes in the tournament. Brady then went on a birdie in hole 7 while also ripping his pants. The 6-time Super Bowl champion then turned to Twitter for dad joke of the weekend, stating that his pants must have wanted to take part in social distancing. For more news on the current sports shutdown, keep it locked in right here to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Sam Wilson on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Farzetta in the Morning with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If you like pina coladas, get wild.
Spilled your pina colada? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to getting caught in the rain.
If you like pina coladas,
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Right now, home sweet home has never been sweeter. Our homes are more important than ever, and finding people we trust to take care of them is just as important. For over 20 years, Home Advisor has been connecting homeowners with trusted local plumbers, electricians, roofers, and more. And now we're making it easier than ever for great pros to join the Home Advisor network. For a limited time, home service businesses can get $200 in free advertising. Visit homeadvisor.com/grow200 for details. That's homeadvisor.com/grow200.
An auto policy from State Farm gets you collision coverage. And this radio ad from State Farm gets you coverage of this beloved 90s hit.
I hit a car. I hit a car. I hit a car. Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. It's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay.
My agent's gonna help me.
For more coverage, visit statefarm.com.
Right now, it feels like the world's standing still. But if you look to the land, it's a whole different story. From farms to backyards, wheels are turning, seeds are being planted, animals are getting fed, grass is growing, and families are giving their all to the soil. Because no matter how uncertain things get, the land never stops. So to all those linked to the land, John Deere says thank you. We're here for you because we all run together. Nothing runs like a deer.
Comcast Business is here for you. Right now, get 200 megabit internet and one voice mobility line for $99.99 per month for 2 years with a 3-year agreement when you sign up for paperless billing and automatic payments. Plus, ask about other offers to get a prepaid card worth up to $500. When every connection counts, you can count on us. Call 1-800-501-6000 today.
Request enrollment, paperless billing, automatic payments through Comcast Business My Account or service charge increases by $10 per month. Offer at 6/30/20. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited new Comcast Business Internet, 200 megabits per second, and one voice mobility line customers only. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation, taxes, and fees extra subject to change.
The Fanatic is live and local, helping to keep the community connected. Here's what you need to know. Sometimes you just need a warm, soft pretzel. Go to PhillyPretzelFactory.com and enter your zip code to find an open store near you. Philly Pretzel Factory, where better gets made. Let us help you stay connected. Email us at family@975thefanatic.com. The Fanatic family, keeping us together while we're apart.
Drive forward with great deals going on now at the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram Memorial Day sales event. And enjoy the freedom to shop and buy online today.
Farsetta in the morning, now.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
I absolutely loved the match, too. Very rarely do things, Bob, as you well know, very rarely do things live up to the hype. This lived up to the hype. Tenfold.
If you were to ever eat one of my meatballs, it would live up to the hype. But you won't, so I understand. It was one of the funnest thing, most fun things I've watched.
Meatballs or the match?
The match.
Oh, copy that.
Yeah. I got off the meatballs.
Yeah, I thought it'd be, I don't know what my expectations were, but it exceeded them.
My expectations were met fully. I was like, I want this to feel like...
You said it right earlier, where you felt like you were a caddy for them.
Yeah, I felt like I was for caddy and for all of them.
Yeah.
And I was like,
which
no,
is
I,
really cool.
I was like, Tom, you definitely split your pants. Tom, did you have your rain pants? Put those on. But like when Tom Brady was on the cart, and he was asking the guy for, I forget who he was talking to at the time, but he was like, so do I move it off a club length? Like, how do I
move
it?
Yeah, he's talking to the rule official.
Yeah!
The one guy didn't even know. He's like, yeah, just drop it over there in the grass. And the guy that was in the booth was like, no, you get two driver's lengths. I was like, oh, wouldn't want to be that guy on the course.
No, and that guy knows the rules. Like, my cousin Greg, like, he knows the rules, man. He knows, like, everything. He looks like golf class, like, knows the rules. He's the guy you would ask that question. But that's how I felt. I felt like I was just kind of following those guys around. Even though it was broadcast to 6 million people who watched that, that's what it felt like.
I kind of got called out. So I golfed Saturday with two buddies. Let me throw this one by you. Because I kind of got called out, and rightfully so.
What'd you do?
So that we didn't gamble. There was no money on the line with this round.
I don't believe you. Go ahead.
So we went out. We were playing Jaworski's Riverwinds, actually.
Nice.
We waited out like a 2.5 hour rain delay.
Marbled.
Sensational.
So I hit a drive pretty good down the left side of the fairway, out of the fairway, but in the rough. It's like hole 15. So it's like on the hills by the tree. It was really wet and damp and kind of hard to find stuff. So my buddy Steve saw it, so he's helping me look for my ball, and it's just not turning up. Like, we know it's in this area. 100% no.
Yeah.
But it's not turning up. And I was like, oh, I'll just take a drop here and hit towards the green.
Yeah.
I hit an 8-iron, stuck it, like, probably 10, 12 feet from the pin. Okay. So I walk up to the green, and my buddy Dave's there, and he's like, I'm putting three here. And I was like, yeah, same. Assuming that when Steve was, it's not like I dropped the ball out of my pocket and tried to play it off like it. Steve was with me when I took the drop. So I just assumed, since there's no money on the line, just kind of one of those, it's a drop, but it's not really a drop. Like, we know the ball's here, we're just not finding it.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of assumed it was not a penalty.
Uh-huh.
And Dave was like, wait, you're hitting three? He's like, what about the lost ball? And I was like, oh, well, I just kind of assumed that was like a non-lost drop ball.
I assume cheating was okay on this course, is what Jamie's saying.
And then Dave goes, Steve, what do you think? Is that a lost ball? And Steve was like, yeah. And I was like, all right, no problem. Like, I wasn't trying to cheat, but I got called out for it.
Right.
What do you do in that situation where there's not money on the line?
You say, I apologize, sirs. That's what you're doing.
I was like, all right, yeah, that's no
problem.
What do you
mean, what do you do? What are you going to fight him?
Yeah.
No, but like, I'm not wrong for...
Yeah, I'm
poor
more...
condition I'm, day.
Who are you playing with, Madden?
Yeah, Madden.
Oh,
and
my
buddy
God.
Joofy.
I'm gonna text him after the show.
Yeah, you should.
No, I'm like... I'm more lenient. I would have been like, yeah, that's fine.
Because
you put it down where you thought it was.
Yeah.
That's fine. And you didn't gain anything by it. You were in the rough.
Yeah. Because Dave was like, well, I did that two holes ago, and I gave myself the stroke. And I was like, well, why didn't you bring this up? I would have given you the free drop.
No, see.
How old are you guys?
38!
When I play golf, I keep score.
On a normal day, I find that ball.
Maybe. That was off the tee?
Yeah.
So what is that? You're dropping two, hitting three?
Yeah.
On and four?
Mm-hmm. Did you and hit I the was putt? Saying I'm hitting three.
Did you hit the putt?
No.
All right, so you, in your rules, you parred it. Did you two putt?
No, I think in my rules, I bogeyed it.
No, did you two putt? You were on in
I think I three putt. I was three putting all day. I couldn't get the greens.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right.
Save
all right.
My life.
No, yeah, you keep score.
All right.
As simple as that.
So I'm in the wrong.
Yes. You're the
but
wrong.
But not really.
If I was with you, I'd be like, do what you want. I mean, we're not playing for money. That's fine.
Yeah.
But also don't come to me at the end of the round if you beat me by a stroke and be like, I beat you by a stroke.
No.
And I'm
I
like,
do
that's
that.
Interesting because you were playing children's rules and I'm playing like a man.
But like if you had hit one on the first hole where we couldn't find it but we knew where it was, I'd be like, oh, dude, just take a drive.
And I would say thank you, but I'm not accepting.
We couldn't find it and knew where it was is kind of, that's a little abstract,
well,
isn't
poor,
it?
It's the poor conditioned day.
It's a loophole in the story. It's a loophole.
All right.
Were you playing lift, clean, and play?
No, not really, but we were playing if it was indented, like, you could just...
Right.
So I don't know what that
if
was.
If it was
what,
in a bunker
because it's so wet and stuff like that, like, sometimes your ball is just full of gunk.
Yeah.
You can pick it up, clean it off, and just put it back where it was.
Yeah, we would play that.
Here's the other suggestion. Don't go out. Wait for a nice day.
Oh, okay, Addy.
I mean, not for nothing.
Hey,
that's
man,
how I play.
I got my free pass. Nothing was taking me off the course that day.
Did it expire the next day?
Maybe. I'm not taking that chance.
Yeah,
good Lord wouldn't strike me down on my career best round.
I think you know Jaws a little bit. I think he'd hook you up with him. Anyway. No, it still drives me nuts to this day. I'm playing golf with my dad on Father's Day. If I get a 9, I get a 9. That's what I shot. I've taken an 11 on a hole, okay? And my dad, he'll say, what'd you get?
No, just give yourself the snowman.
So my dad, I got an 11. And he goes, I'll give you an 8. And I'm like, now, why would you do that? I didn't get that. You raised me better than that, Dad. And then I will literally, I swear to God, this still happens. I erase the score he writes, and I write my own damn score, because I'm an honorable man.
Real quick, one thing I can't stand on a golf course.
Yeah?
When somebody, what'd you get on a hole? And they try to figure, what is this, par 4 or 5?
What
difference does it make?
Well, does that matter, you lying bastard?
Exactly.
That's what I like to say. I'm dumb, though, and I do have to go, all right, 1, 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 3, 4. Yeah. Fine. All right. 6. Yeah, mark me for a 6.
There's always there's a moment in that counting where I'm just like, I don't know, Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
One hole came up. He was like, what'd you get? I was like, well, at least a 6. Give me a second while I add this up here. Because I had a lot of 7s on the scorecard that day.
Skunked it right by the tree. then I missed it again. Yeah.
Did you hit the island green?
On my third shot. I hit 2 off the rocks into the river.
Oh, geez.
And we were the first ones out on the course. So I was like, well, we got time. I'm going to take a third swing, even though it clearly says one swing only.
So technically with those balls in the water, you were on a 9.
Yeah, my third shot, though, Bob, I got it within like 6 feet. It was
nice.
Great. It was great, yeah.
So we tell all you this.
So I got a 2.
The match 2 was great.
No, I gave myself an 8 on that. Or no, a 6. I doubled par.
Anyway.
Yeah, good times. I love golf debates. I think they're funny.
But you keep score.
I was fine.
There you go.
It was a free drop.
Okay, fine.
I would give that to you.
And I would say thank you, sir. I play as an adult. Anyway, but we tell all of this to tell you that the match 2 was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
And Tom Brady, we still live rent-free as Eagles fans in his head because he had even said this great line.
It's the Eagles that I cringe, bro, not the Falcons.
Just hit me with it one more time.
These aren't the Falcons you're playing against. Tigers are a pretty good closer.
Same colors, though.
And
it's the Eagles that I cringe, bro, not the Falcons.
we not only live there, it's beachfront property, and we have a little pool as well.
Like, oh, yeah.
It is great. It is just to know that you live in the quote unquote goat's head as the game that bothers him the most. And it's obvious why it bothers him the most. Jamie, you had mentioned Nick Foles beat you. It wasn't Eli Manning who did it twice, which the second justified the first a little bit. It was also the fact that not only Nick Foles, a backup quarterback, beat you in the Super Bowl, but also because Nick Foles, after you dropped a pass for a first down, he caught a pass for a touchdown. That's the loss that bothers Tom Brady the most. And to know that we live in that brain of his for free.
That satisfies you to no end.
It really does. Oh, my God, it's great.
It's the Eagles that I cringe, bro, not the Falcons.
And for Peyton Manning to say, I should have brought my brother Eli to caddy. I should have brought Nick Foles to caddy. And then Tom Brady to turn around and say, that's a cheap shot. Oh, that just makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside. Now, this guy was not mentioned in our all-listener drinking contest, but he's definitely, he's a first-round pick. Goes without saying.
Ah, yeah, I'm down with that.
Graf in media. What's up, Graf? How's your new shirt?
You know what, Mark? It's not good. It's not.
I quote-tweeted it yesterday. Go ahead, tell us the story. How'd you get that shirt, that Tiger shirt?
So, this is how this goes down, right? My Aunt Charlotte, she is a comedian of the family. She likes to buy things for my grandfather, who now unfortunately is suffering from dementia. So she got him all sorts of things back in the day. He had a nickname called the Bay Tiger because he used to be a Delaware River pilot.
Oh, wow.
So she bought him a, like, Sun Sportswear Tiger shirt that has a giant face of a tiger on it. The entire shirt is a tiger. And she gave it to my grandmother to give my grandfather. So my grandmother comes out in the living room. She goes, "Hey, I got you this shirt," not realizing that it was from my Aunt Charlotte. I didn't know this at the time. She said, "Hey, I got you this shirt. It was originally for Granddad, but it's not going to fit him, so you should go try this on." Immediately, as soon as I looked at it, I just said no. I was just like, no, this is never going to leave the bathroom after I try it on. So I tried it on, and now I'm the Tiger King.
If you want to see it, I did quote tweet it, tweeted it out. You have the look on your face as like Ralphie in A Christmas Story with the pink bunny outfit on. That's how you
That's
look.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah, it was good.
That's what I was going for.
You pulled it off well. I'll say this. There's only one shirt nerdier than the shirt you have on. And that's no disrespect to your auntie, but the only shirt that's more weird are the people that wear like the holograph wolf t-shirts with the wolves hollering at the moon. That's the only thing that tops that shirt.
Yeah, I think a couple people were asking for one of those, actually, Mark. And asking if my grandmother had any of those. So, yeah, she's great. She, you know, she gives it to me not realizing that the Tiger King's a thing, obviously. So that's my favorite part of it.
Oh, you then have to sit down with Auntie Stephanie. What was it?
Charlotte.
Good old Aunt Charlotte. Yeah. And you got to sit down and watch Tiger King with her while you wear that shirt.
Absolutely. I will. I'll do that. I'll take a photo again for you too, buddy. All right?
Oh,
good man.
Please. Please.
And when are the drinking games? When are we doing this?
Okay, now it's a formality. As of right now, we're just in the planning stages, Graf, but I assume that we'll just set up a Zoom at our own time because I doubt Beasley lawyers will be like, "Hey, great idea. Drink with listeners openly."
As much as you can.
As much as possible. Like, to do another, like it's not even pop culture because it's, you know, a million years ago. Remember the scene in Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I don't know.
Remember the scene where they're drinking and the lady passes out?
Oh, yeah.
That's the scene I'm thinking of for this. We're in Tibet or something like that, and we're just drinking heavily in a tavern.
And then everybody just is the last person to pass out wins. Is that the idea?
Correct. Last person standing.
Do we get any mulligans or anything? Do we get any mulligans? Wake up in the middle of it?
No reviving.
Okay, no reviving.
Yeah, no reviving. That's the rule. That's the game. Either play a man's game or don't. That's what I like to say.
No team revives? All right, good to go.
All right. All right, married Graf, good talking to you.
That's thank you, buddy.
All right, see you, man. Take it easy. You don't remember that scene in Indiana Jones?
Right? Yeah, I remember. Karen scene. Allen's drinking in the scene also, right?
Karen Allen. Kristen Allen. No?
No, Karen Allen.
Yeah. Karen?
And from Animal House.
What a Karen.
Jeez.
Let me tell you.
Karen's a really...
My sister-in-law's Karen.
Oh,
I feel bad. She's a great Karen.
Bad days for Karens.
Right?
What's your cousin's name?
This guy.
Oh, almost had him.
That was a good try.
I almost said Karen because I thought you were talking about my sister-in-law. My awesome sister-in-law that just has her name like ruined now because of all the other Karens in the world. By the way, how long before like Karens form a group and they're like totally offended by all the Karens?
Oh, I think they already are.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Isn't Sam's mom a Karen?
Sam, is your mom Karen?
Yeah, my mom is Karen.
I bet she is.
But she's a sweet lady.
She is.
Has she ever asked to see the manager?
I don't think so, maybe.
Okay, good,
actually.
good. The one Karen at Central Park in New York that went viral.
Yeah.
She lost her job.
Yeah.
Her dog got
taken back by the rescue.
Are you serious?
Really? Like,
aside from the racism and false charges to the police.
She's also strangling the dog.
Yeah, the third disturbing aspect of that video is she's strangling her own dog to make the call.
You know what's the worst part about that is, like, you know, aside from the racism
and
know,
the fake police report,
fake, like,
then there's like dog cruelty on top of it. That woman,
what a despicable person.
Yeah, seriously,
despicable person.
Go to hell.
Well, I think she created hell, if you don't go home. Is that how that works, I guess, with her? I don't know, but yeah, Karens. Let's see if the Karens do have their own little media or their own group that is starting.
A Karen union?
If they rounded up a posse of Karens. 610-632-0975. When we come back, you know, you can't hear it enough. We'll hit you with Tom Brady one more time. Time of the Fanatic, 942.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.